This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, good morning. I'm going to start this morning with a question, just asking all of you to think about what in your life brings you a sense of security and comfort. Where do you place your trust? And perhaps another way of looking at it, what lies at the center of the story that you tell yourself? In today's gospel, Jesus is approached by someone in the crowd who wants him to settle a family dispute over their inheritance. But instead of taking the bait, Jesus uses the moment to tell a story, a parable, one that unsettles our expectations and invites self-reflection. It reframes our desires and the way we think about the world. I think it's worth noting and pointing out that while the media often emphasizes the greed and consumerism that pervades our culture today, we have to note that Scripture was addressing these very same concerns thousands of years ago. Greed and distraction and the desire for more are not new. They're not unique to our time or to our place. There have always been possessions, material and otherwise, that pull us away from God and one another. Yet I think, too, we have to note that the accumulation of food and resources is not inherently wrong. Remember, this is precisely what Joseph recommends Pharaoh do after interpreting his dream in Genesis. So something deeper must be going on. I think we have to look a little more closely at the words of the rich man in the parable. It says, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Notice the language. I, me, my. He's having a conversation with himself, about himself, for himself. How self-absorbed can you get? He's completely inward-facing, wrapped in the illusion of self-sufficiency. He's alone, talking to himself, and feeling quite pleased with the future he's constructed. There's no mention of family, or neighbor, or God. In a sense, he's already dead, cut off from relationship, from community, and from the one who created him. He's completely isolated. So what does it mean to be rich toward God? What's the alternative to this man's behavior? That's the question we're left to wrestle with this morning, asking ourselves perhaps what are the things in our lives that rob us of community? What are the things that isolate us from our neighbors, that cause us to miss God's presence when it's right before us? It might be wealth, it may be our work, might be our smartphones, our fears, but what makes you retreat inward? What makes you start to have conversations only with yourself? What do you fear losing the most? Is it control? Is it security? Is it growth or comfort? Does the desire of your heart lead you deeper into isolation, or does it draw you outward into relationship, vulnerability, and presence? Being rich toward God means refusing to be cut off from God and others. It means cultivating an awareness of God's presence in our life and paying attention to the people that God has placed in our midst. It's rooted in connection. And I think today we hear so much about fear of the other, fear of the future, a fear for our safety or a fear of those we disagree with. And fear at its core isolates us. It leads us to stockpile, to avoid, to turn inward, and to look out only for ourselves. It often silences compassion and keeps us from acting with love. And like the man in the parable, fear can trap us in an echo chamber of our own thoughts. But again and again in Scripture, in the face of fear, God invites us to peace, to presence, to trust. I think that Jesus' warning in this parable isn't harsh, it's pastoral. It's a grace-filled recognition and reminder of our vulnerability. It's a reminder not to confuse the abundance of possessions with an abundance of life. So what does it mean to be rich towards God? The answer may look different for each of us, but it's always going to be rooted in community, in relationship with God and with each other. Because when we lose that connection, we risk the very same isolation that consumed the man in the parable. To be rich towards God is to live with openness and trust and generosity. It means living more fully, more connectedly, and more faithfully now, not waiting for some imagined future when everything is going to be just right, but living with God and others here and now with what we have at hand. A sense of self built on possessions is always going to be fragile. A sense of security grounded in things will always be tenuous. But richness towards God is relational, not transactional. It's a way of being, not a strategy for success. In the end, I think this parable, this story, is a story of possibility. It's a reminder of God's grace and presence in our lives. A promise that we can be rich in love, in community, and in grace. And that we can let go of the illusion that we are in control or that we don't have enough. This parable is a reminder that we are God's beloved and that that is enough. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.